Vallava Girivaradari Bijana Vallava Girivaradari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janavalava Giri Vardhari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanyachari Yamuna Tira Vanyachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivaradari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivaradari Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yashoda Nandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Tira Vanchari Yamuna Tira Vanchari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Read
reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavan Kapila Muni Shiksha, Bhakti Yoga Mahima, the glories of devotional service, text 16. Hamam Abhiman Otte Kamalobhadi Bir Male Vitam Yadamana Shuddham Dukham Asukham Samam. When one is completely cleansed of the impurities of lust and greed produced from the false identification of the body as I and the bodily possessions as mine, then one's mind becomes purified. And that pure state, he transcends the stage of so-called material happiness and distress. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Calm and lobe are symptoms of material existence. Everyone always desires to possess something. It is said here that desire and greed are products of false identification of oneself with the body. When one becomes free from this contamination, then his mind and consciousness also become freed and attain their original state. Mind, consciousness, and a living entity exist. Whenever we speak of the living entity, this includes mind and consciousness. The difference between conditional life and liberated life occurs when we purify the mind and consciousness. When they are purified, one becomes transcendental to material happiness and distress. In the beginning, Lord Kapila has said that perfect yoga enables one to transcend the platform of material distress and happiness. How this can be done is explained here. One has to purify his mind and consciousness. This can be done by the bhakti yoga system, as explained in the Narada Pancharatra. One's mind and senses should be purified. Tatparatvena nirmalam. One's senses must be engaged in devotional service to the Lord. That is the process. The mind must have some engagement. One cannot make the mind vacant. Of course, there are some foolish attempts to try to make the mind vacant or void, but that is not possible. The only process that will purify the mind is to engage it in Krishna. The mind must be engaged. If we engage our mind in Krishna, naturally, the consciousness becomes fully purified. And there is no chance of the entrance of material desire and greed. Om Anganati Mirandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shedvaita Garadhar Shrasti Gaur Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Kapila Muni has packed in this verse of the Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, chapter 25, text 16. He has packed or placed all the possible conceptions of ontology that one could imagine. Just look at the words of this verse. Each one of these words represents an entire volume of books. Aham, Mama, Abhiman, Kam, Lobh, Male or Mal, then Manashudam, Dukam, Sukam, Samam. Thank you. These are very powerful words linked together in a very deep concept, which Prabhupada has so perfectly understood and presented. Aham, Mama, Abhiman, Kam, Lobh, Man, Shudman, Shudavan. Is that prayer? Shuddha, was it? Kavi Habi, well, no, it's Vishaya Charya Kavi. Vishaya Charya Kavi, Shuddha Habe Man. Kavi, when? Kavi, when will that? Yada, let's say Yada. Yada, Yada, see this word here in the verse, Yada. Yada means when. Yada, Kada, Kavi. Kavi, Shuddha Habe Man. Kavi Habe Haribo Sri Vrindavan Dham. I will be placed in Vrindavan automatically, effortlessly. I will be lifted out of wherever I am, just like effortlessly and automatically and spontaneously. The Yamadutas will come and lift everyone out of their material body, wherever they are, in whatever circumstance they are. There's a story of a stewardess. There's actually even pictures of it in one movie. She was serving out the veg and non-veg meals. Would you like veg or non-veg? Would you like some drinks with your meal? Some whiskey and some beer. So she was a stewardess at some airline, whatever. And she was serving, walking up and down the aisles, and suddenly the roof of the airplane, a little piece opened up, just flew off, and left a little opening. And it was right above her head. And it was an immense suction, like a huge vacuum cleaner. And she went up that hole. But she was a typical pear-shaped Indian, as they say. So she was narrow here, but wider downstairs, if you can understand. So her head went out the hole, and her shoulders went out the hole, but something kept her in. But then the force was so great that it was pulling, and then poof! And she was the first lady in outer space. And no one from that day forward ever saw a trace. Because she was lost from the earth, its face, and was no longer in the human race. Because she became an animal. So this is, and immediately the lights came on, fasten your seat belts, but no one else followed that parampara. This lady has started a new parampara, but please don't follow her example. It will lead to death and suicide. What this story illustrates is that Yamaraj is very precise. And the Yamadutas are very precise. When the time is up, it's up. Even if you're flying 5 miles above the earth, the Yamadutas will say, oh, hey, and they're talking to each other, isn't it time for this stewardess to die? Yeah, But she's packed up inside this airplane. Okay, well, let's just fly over it. Okay, you tell me what time it is. I'll rip open a hole. So the Yamadutas are flying over the airplane, and they're discussing. And one's got the watch, and he said, okay, you ready? Yeah, and they're just sitting on top. Said, yeah, but she's moving here and there. I know, but you got to be fast. So she's just coming towards the hole. So she's walking down the aisle, and then they, okay, now, it's the time. And they ripped open the hole, and then, choop, and then, chop. The Yamadutas were just sitting on top of the plane, riding, with their ropes and dogs and nooses and everything. And they just grabbed her. She was gone. There were 350 people on the plane, and nobody died but one. This is the expertise of Krishna's arrangement for this material world. That his ministers of death, the Mrityu, ministers of Mrityu, they are the ministers appointed by the Lord. Yamaraj is the CM of the Yamadutas. They're expert. So in the same way, when one gives up sense gratification, vishaya chariya kabe, then his mind becomes pure, and Krishna lifts us out of the material world and places us in Vrindavan. He puts our minds in Vrindavan. Shuddha have man. Vrindavan lives in the pure devotional mind. Devotional mind. Because yogis can also get purified minds, but not devotional minds. Minds purified by devotion, or minds purified by yoga, or minds purified by meditation. It's also yoga. But they don't go to they don't get lifted out and placed in Vrindavan, nor does Vrindavan get placed in their minds. It happens instantaneously. But the devotees lament. Narottama is lamenting. Kabe habe. Sri Vrindavan, when will that day come? So this verse is, Prabhupada is explaining so nicely, this aham mama abhimanote. All these impurities, I and mine and lust. First it's I and mine. That's why Kapila Muni starts off with aham and mama. Everything begins from there. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. This is told in Rishabhadev's teachings in 5th canto. Janasya moho yamaham mameti. He says, the people, the jana, they're in illusion. Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. And what is the basis of the illusion? It's they place their aham and their mama in the wrong place. I don't mean your uncle. Your uncle is your mama, right? Is it right? So they put their aham, the concept of I, and mama, the concept of mine, it's misplaced. It's wrongly directed. This is the illusion. That's why he starts there. Aham. Everything begins with aham. The verse begins with aham. I am in illusion. I'm in maya. Because my conception, my idea, aham mama abhiman. My abhiman, means, it's translated here by Srila Prabhupada, misconception. Conception is a function of the mental, of the mind. But generally, abhiman is considered to be the mentality, the mindset. What is your abhiman? We have purusha, we've heard the term purusha abhiman. The mentality of the enjoyer, the purusha abhiman. This was a problem with Lakshmi Devi. It was a problem of abhiman. She had Mahishi abhiman. Her abhiman, her mentality was, I'm a queen. I'm a brahmani. Although she wanted to be a gopi, but she didn't have gopi abhiman. She didn't have this seva abhiman. Because a queen is served. Not she doesn't serve, she is served. She has so many hundreds of maidservants. So this is purusha abhiman. She's the enjoyer. She's the queen enjoying her position, facility. And at the same time, she's a servant, padasevanam, massaging the feet of her Lord, Vishnu. But she had aspiration, she had desire to become a gopi and dance with Krishna in the rasa dance. She performed intense austerities to attain that. But there was something wrong with the first word of her identity, aham. Aham, abhiman. Her abhiman, or her aham was, aham, I am a Mahishi. Aham Mahishi. Vaikuntha Mahishi. I am a queen of Vaikuntha. A goddess of facility. A goddess of, we say opulence, or we say fortune. It means facility. So then Yogamaya Purnamasi met her one day in Belvan, in Vrindavan. She said, Jai Ho, Lakshmi Devi. And Lakshmi Devi said, Pranams, Purnamasi, Ma. And Purnamasi said, listen, I want to conduct an interview. We have an opening in the Rasa Dance. We need one more gopi tonight. We're one gopi short. We need one gopi. We need an extra dancer. If you pass the interview, you can enter the Rasa Dance. Oh, yes, yes. Please, conduct the interview. Question one. Take out a piece of paper and a pen, Lakshmi Devi. Yes, yes, I have it here. Are you ready when Krishna plays his flute? Are you ready to run away from your husband? Instantaneously just drop everything, let go of his lotus feet, and run away to Krishna? Huh? What? He's my pati? This is pati dharma? I am his sati, I am his wife, I am wife? This is my seva? No, how is it possible? This is irreligious? This is immoral? Acha. Interesting answer. All right, let me ask you another question, Lakshmi Devi. Are you willing to be trained in the various arts of intimacy, smarakala, what to be technical, smarakala. Are you willing to be trained in the arts of intimacy from some of the sakis? Sakis? My gurus? I'm a brahmani. Lakshmi's a brahmani, by the way. I'm a brahmani. They're some kind of Vaishya, Krishigo Rakshya Vanijam, Vaishya Karma Subhavajam, but even their category of Vaishyas is a very, very low quality. They're Abhira. They're Abhira. They're nomads. Nomads means, doesn't mean mad, it means they're not mad. They're not mad. But nomads means that they're wanderers, like these gypsies that come from Rajasthan. They have their little wagon, and that, I don't know if you know how they move, but these Rajasthani gypsies, I know. Because, you know, I have to learn all these things, it's important. So they come into Radhakund, and they have one little fancy little black cart, you must have seen, a little with wooden wheels, very beautiful, traditional mode of transport. And they have everything on there. The baby, the kids, the pots and pans, and some little stove and some hammers so they can make some horseshoes and knives and little factory type thing. And then they have one little bullock. They have some bull they found here and there. So that bull, they don't own that bull. Whenever they want to go somewhere, there's some bull wandering around here or there. They don't, usually baby bull. And then they just catch him. Hey, come here. Because they know the art. And they put that wandering stray bull in front of their bullock cart and they say, come on, let's go. And they tie him up and they all sit in the cart. The mother, father, baby 1, 2, 3, baby 3, 4, 5. And they sit there and then they start from Rajasthan and then they come, and they get to go over and they say, oh, this is a nice place by the state bank and the Radhakund Prickle Mark. This looks like a good place. So they stop their cart and they open up the, let go of the bull and just like, jump! And the bull just wanders away and starts eating some grass and go over time. And then a year later, 6 months later, when they want to go somewhere else again, they just catch some other bull, tie him up, okay, let's go. Madhya Pradesh or wherever they want to go. That's very good. Why? That's like if you use this philosophy, there's no need to buy a car. Whenever you need a car, you just break a window, get inside, boom, drive around. If you get finished, you leave the car and walk away. No insurance, no headaches, no worry. Don't have to put gas in the tank. Right? This is very interesting. So these abhyas, they're wandering here and there. They don't grow any crops. They let these cows go out and eat all this grass, and they just sit around and sing songs about Krishna and relax all day, preparing different sevas for him and Balaram, and making bats and ball bats and all kinds of things. Then the cows come back in the evening and then they go choo choo choo. That's it. Doesn't take much intelligence to go ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. So, no, I can never follow. Then Lakshmi Devi said, well, you have a problem. You have Mahishi Abhiman. Therefore, aham mama abhiman unte. Uto, uto, ap jagrata. Uto. Was it Jagrata? You will not be able to wake up. You will not be able to rise above your misidentification with your upadi. You will not be able to transcend your upadi, your designation. And therefore, if you don't utai, rise above this abhiman, Krishna milan koine, you can never meet with Krishna. So this is what this verse is telling, that it begins here with the abhiman. The sadhakas, they understand that this abhiman, this identity, of course there's this abhiman is basically a function, you could say, of ahankara. Abhiman. Usually they translate it as mentality. It's a conception, probably is a misconception, the wrong idea. But that wrong idea actually manifests in the ego, hankar, as the sense of identity. I am what? I am whatever I'm inside. I'm in this body, I am a body. The soul is inside an Indian body, thinks he's Indian. This is his mentality. So the sadhakas, they understand that the real problem starts with the ego. I mean, the problem we have is in our chitta, where all our samskaras are. Desire arises from the chitta. And then it's given, that desire is passed over to the mind. I'll explain something to you. The chitta, there's, as I said, there's atma, then chitta, hankara, buddhi, man, indriya, senses. So the chitta is the storehouse and reservoir of all the icha, desires, karmas, all these four stages, bijam, kutam, prarabdha and aprarabdha. And then the chitta, of course, then we talked about the samskara, then vasana. That's all that coming on. That's the chitta. So keep that box, what do you call it? Keep that window open. The chitta window, right? Samskara vasana, okay, chitta window. Now you open up another window. Now you open up the mind, an indriya. So the indriyas, they simply collect the objects. Indriyas are just sweepers, street sweepers. They're walking around picking up things. They're picking up sound. The indriyas, they pick up things. They pick up sound. Shabda, sparsha, gandha, what else? Rasa, what else is there? Rupam. They pick up forms, they pick up sounds, taste, smells, and sensations. Touch sensations. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to touch someone. The sensation can just be some wind, Wind blowing on your face, is that a touch? Sparsha, yes. And you feel it. Oh, it feels cool. That's why you stand. You come out from outside, you stand in front of the air cooler, the AC. Ah! Because that cool wind is touching your hot body, and you're registering that relief of distress. You're interpreting that relief of distress as being happiness. Which is kind of a foolish idea, but that's how we exist. So now, they collect, the senses just collect the objects and then they throw them up in the air. Now the sense objects are thrown up in the air by the senses. Now the observer, the Atma, he's looking at those sense objects through four lenses. He's looking at those sense objects through the citta, through the buddhi, through the man. There's already indriya we discussed. The indriya is the collector of sense objects. Now, he's just the observer. He's a passive observer. But his observation of the field of activity or the kshetra or the objects of sense gratification produced therein from that kshetra before his field of vision, they have his vision, the Atma's vision, is determined by the condition and purity of his citta. So when he's looking and he sees, say, the object of a, just to make it more peaceful object, let's say he's in the forest and he sees an apple, a ripe apple on a tree. He's walking and he comes, an apple tree. He sees a ripe apple, okay? So that rupam, form of the apple, he sees it, it goes through his senses. Now, the next aspect of the linga sharir, the four aspects, remember, four aspects that right here Kapila establishes, the next aspect that deals with that in terms of sequence, if you want to know the sequence, is the citta and the shakshi. The citta and the atma. You follow? They're the observers. So the Atma, I see the apple, don't I? I see it, yes? Yes. Now what do I do with it? What I do with that object, whatever it is, this is one example, rupam, it can be rupam of some, but I don't feel like bringing that in a meditation. It can be an apple, that you'll do on your own. It can be an apple, and we see that object, and now the witness or the Atma, the Kshetragya, right? 13th chapter, the Kshetragya, the knower of the field is the Atma, yes? He sees that apple. Yes, I see apple. Now what am I going to do with it? Well then the citta, the software is the citta. The citta says, accepts that apple. Now the apple flies across the surface of the citta. The citta is like a CD disc, and the apple is like a laser searcher, or something like that. You know, the apple is like some laser thing or something goes across, and you're looking for a track on the CD, some laser thing goes like this. So now the apple goes, and then it skims the surface of your citta, and it happens like, obviously, it's a very fast process. Like computers work fast, yes? So this also works. But this is, if you slow motion down the subtleties of mental faculties, that's what we're doing. You follow? So that object skims across the surface of the citta, looking for what? Samskara. Apple samskara. Because of previous association with an apple. Eating an apple in this life or last life. Then if it... Bing! It finds an apple samskara. Now the object meets the samskara. And then the party happens. From that association with the object of the senses and the citta, and that particular samskara in the citta, then arising from that association is vasana. Is this clear? The object hits the observer, I'm the observer, the shakshi, the kshetragya, the atma, bhakta jo, Bhakta Joe, Krishnadas. Okay, Krishnadas. The apple comes, then it hits the chitta. And then the samskar gets rattled. The water, remember the samskar is like water in a pot. Remember that analogy? And then that object is like fire. Fire under that water, and it boil, when it starts boiling, it gives off vapor, steam. When that steam and vapor rises, that rising of the steam from that water, which is a samskar, is vasana, desire. Now, that desire, now, it's like, as I said, I see it like a juggling act, you know, like a chitta gets it, and they'll say, oh, there it is, oh, desire for apple, now what? Now, boing, it's like ping, table tennis. You ever play table? Ding, boing, ping, boing, ping pong. Did you ever play table tennis?
Yes.
So it's like this. It's like a ping pong ball. Because you have to kind of visualize it, you know, graphically. So now the vasana is like a, now it's the ping pong ball. The vasana has become like a ping pong ball, looking like an apple. Okay? The apple desire. Then the chitta says, well, I'm done. I've done my work. Who takes over now in the sequence? The mind. It goes to the mind. So that's why they say the mind desires. But let's, you know, that's just to keep it really simple. But then you get confused when you hear all these concepts. So now, understand. So now the ping pong ball, that desire for apple, the chitta says, here, boing. And then the mind says, oh, it's in my side of the net. The mind receives the desire. So the apple has been passed to the mind. Man. The mind doesn't desire. First understand that. It's a processor. I mean, we're all in the computer age, so these are the ideal words. Then. The mind is a processor. It does, the mind, this is what we should first understand. The mind does not desire. And Prabhupada's told us so many places. So try to, if you're a little attentive, then you can understand all these things. Because it's all in the books. I'm just kind of like, you know, took the pieces and put them together and maybe a little backing of some meditation or whatever. And I hope I'm correct, but as far as I understand, I'm correct. But I don't pose to be the absolute authority, but as much as I can understand it, I'm conveying it to you. But I'm also subject to correction, and I'm open to it. As far as I know, the man has two functions. What are they? Sanskrit. Sankalp and vikalp. Yes, no, yes.
Yes.
Any other function? No. So why do some people say, oh, my mind is full of desires, my mind is wrong. The mind is a processor, it's passive. It accepts and rejects. Now the next question is, why does it accept some things and why does it reject other things? And that's based on the samskaras. Because the samskara not only accepts that object, of the apple, because there's an apple samskara, but it produces a vasana. And that vasana is a desire to eat that apple. You follow? Now that desire to eat that apple has now been passed to the mind. Now the mind is a processor. It has a choice to accept that desire to eat the apple or to reject the desire to eat the apple, because that's the function of the mind, sankalpa and vikalpa. Are you clear?
Yes.
Ekdam Bariya?
Yes.
Bilkul?
Yes.
Now, chitta has been covered, although they're all going on. Another thing is, it's not like one room and another room. It's all going intricate. It's all like this. We want to think linear, step one, step two. These things are all happening simultaneously. That's why people get confused. Now I'm separating it, but then you put it all back together. It's called a synergy. You understand synergy? Integrated unit, working conjointly and everything together. But just to separate it, understand it, then put it back together and chant Hare Krishna. Now, chitta's been covered, indriya senses have been covered, chitta's been covered, yes? Atma, kshetragya, and we've covered man. Now what? Now, buddhi. Buddhi. Buddhi's function, intelligence, buddhi. Buddhi. Di means discrimination. Discrimination. Conceptualizing. And now this is the final layer of that determines action is the buddhi, the intelligence. If the intelligent, now the intelligence simply discriminates because the citta is saying, I desire apple. The mind has made an alliance with the citta. Basically the citta and the mind, that's why they're oftentimes translated, citta means mind. So now you get confused. But it's a completely separate layer of the subtle body, completely different aspect. Citta. It's not one. But they work together so it appears like one. Because the mind never goes against the citta. Because the mind is controlled by the buddhi. The mind is only a processor. The controller is the buddhi. So the buddhi, the intelligence, discriminates, is this good for me or not? And if the only, because the mind, the intelligence conceptualizes, and he discriminates based on his intelligence, which means the ability to choose. Now he decides, okay, I am producing my citta, my senses, my citta, my mind and my senses have produced, which means me, because it's my samskara, my samskara from my citta, and my senses have produced a desire, and my mind has simply accepted that desire to eat that apple. Now, the intelligence enters into the equation by saying, well, I have a desire to eat that apple, and it's very, very strong because I've eaten 50,000 apples in this life and 3,000 apples in my last life. It's very, very deep, strong samskara, deep, engraved deep into my citta, because I've done it so many times and reinforced it and driven that samskara, that activity deep, that impression, that tendency to act deep into my citta. So it's practically irrepressible and uncontrollable. So the intelligence simply just says, yeah, go for it. The material intelligence is simply a wimp. Material intelligence is a wimp. It's a kumjor, weakling, no strength. His discrimination is, he simply gives the okay. Just like somebody gets some request for money and a temple president is signs everything, he takes the paper, the treasurer looks, okay, he just says okay and gives the money. But without that receipt and that... So the intelligence says, okay, go for it. Then you run over, eat it. Apple, woman, man, drugs, heroin, stealing, anything. That's how most people operate. And then they coin phrases and sutras. It's called the Bhoga Sutra. You've heard of Vedanta Sutra? There's also Bhoga Sutra. It's all sutras, they're very short little phrases which people operate on. If it feels good, do it. If it feels good, do it. That's a sutra. Bhoga Sutra. No consideration of ethics, morality, right or wrong, dharma, adharma. If it feels good, yeah, I see that lady, I want to jump on her. Okay, do it. Go to jail. Better yet be killed. Should be murdered. But this Kali Yuga, everyone's... That's the standard. So no one punishes anybody because they don't have any idea about what's right and wrong. This is basically how it works. Now, this is a basic materialist. He doesn't do much but just enjoy his senses. And this is how it works. It just goes on and on. Now, that's why there's so much stress in yoga to attain transcendental knowledge, because that knowledge strengthens the intelligence. Transcendental knowledge gives strength and shakti to the buddhi. So then the buddhi upgrades or increases its power of discrimination by the input of spiritual knowledge, Atma Tattva Gyan, Divya Gyan, Paravidya. And then, and he's a devotee, and he's accepted a particular standard of ethics and achar and behavior, sadachar, sadhu, brahmachari. He's following ashram dharma. He's accepted through his intelligence. He's accepted and discriminated. These are good concepts. This is a good philosophy. These are good yamas and niyamas. These are healthy, progressive, purifying principles to live by and act by and conduct my operations in this world by. So therefore it becomes a dharma dwaji, becomes a religious person, a good Catholic, a good Jew, a good Muslim, Hindu. He abides by the laws of God. He follows the scripture. So now the same person who has spiritually surcharged buddhi, now he has some ability to deal with his own vasanas, karmic vasanas, and the concomitant desires and pushings, the vegams, vachovega manasakrodha, the pushings and the forceful thrust and pushings, they come. You see that apple, oh, that's an apple, I want to eat it. But no, but that belongs to somebody. There's a fence here and that's an orchard. I can't go there. If I take that apple, I'm stealing it. It's not mine. Oh, yes. Anyway, I want that apple. So you drive a little further. Hey, there's a guy selling apples. Hey, get down. Achha, 30 rupee ek. 30 rupee ek? 25 rupee. Okay, 25 rupee. It's a USA apple, red delicious. 25 rupees. What is this, 20? No, it's imported. Okay, let me try it. Hey, not bad, give me one more. So then he gets his apple, and then of course he makes a bijam and another samskar to eat an apple again because he didn't offer it to Krishna. So now devotee, now that's the materialist. Now the devotee, he drives down the street and he says, oh, an apple tree. I like apples too much. I'm an American, so we have apple pie. You're an Indian, so you have mango pie, or mango fruity, or mango kulfi, or mango ice cream, or mango milkshake, and mango. That's your fruit. And it's the Raj Phal, it's the king of fruits. I mean, if you give me an apple and a mango, I'll take the Indian choice. I'll offer pranams to my ancestral apple and dive into the mango milkshake. And not even think the least bit about that apple. I have no more samskars. So now the devotee sees that, oh, I really want to eat that apple. Oh, can't steal it. I can steal it for Krishna. No, that's probably, wouldn't give ISKCON a good name. Yeah, that's right. Prabhupada wouldn't like that. No, but no one's around. No, anyway, I have money. Yeah. So then he goes down, he sees, oh, they're selling apples. Then he gets the apples. No. He says, no. He puts in the back seat of the car, he drives home, he goes home to his house, he washes the apple in filtered water, he cuts it in four pieces, he peels it, puts it in little pieces, puts it on a nice plate, he picks one, Tulsi Maharani, and he picks one Tulsi leaf, he washes the Tulsi leaf off, he puts on the plate, he goes into it, he has a little picture of Radha and Krishna, and puts it in front of the picture. And then before he offers it, he gets some agarbhati. He says, oh Krishna, make it everything smell nice. And also the agarbhati not only smells nice, but that smoke chases away pretas. If you read in Garuda Puran, and Garuda Puran, it explains different things to the enemies of the subtle beings. Preta, bhut, pret, bhut, pishacha, kechari, all these subtle beings, witches and all these demons. There's certain things they don't like. As in the Western movies, they have vampires. And vampires don't like chandi goli. You know what a chandi goli is? Silver bullet. You know? Goli? You don't know what goli is? Banduk? Chandi goli. They say you can kill a vampire with a silver bullet. Right? That's what they say. Anyway, this is their folklore or whatever it is. So the Buddhas and Prates, what do they not like? They don't like bells, gant, ding, 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 ding. They don't like conch shell, wah. They don't like incense. They just fly out. They just go far away. So it's very important for every grihastha, sunrise and sunset, their house to be set. It was a tradition 100 years ago. They would take frankincense, they would have some pot and put some coconut, dried coconut in there and make it fiery and sprinkle some duma and different herbs, and they would have the house servant with, there was a rope on that pot, he would fan it, and the house servant would go all around the house at sunrise and sunset in cultured Indian houses 100 years ago and fan this incense and fill the whole house with incense. And everybody thought it was just chasing the machar away, the mosquitoes. But this is coming from tradition because this is how you purify your house. The dravya, the objects, everything has to be purified and offered in yajna, otherwise it gets infected and contaminated by subtle beings. And the ultimate takeover is when the subtle beings take over the man or the mind. And you become ghostly haunted, possessed. And you have to see a tantric. But before they can take over you, they have to take over your environment and your house. So you keep them out by always keeping a pure environment. So therefore, we offer incense. And this is in Govinda Lila Marita, Nitya Lila, before Krishna always eats, they always offer incense. I hear some people say, no, don't offer incense. You should not offer incense when you make an offering, because Krishna has to smell the food. Some people propagate, don't light incense when you make a bhoga offering. Oh, but that's not, Krishna has sense that he can smell everything simultaneously. He's not you. Krishna's not, if you're eating and your nose will go to the incense and you won't smell the cutty sauce. And you won't smell the, you know, he's not like that. And this is the real reason we offer incense, so no subtle beings come in and infect that offering. This is the tattva. So don't be lazy when in your houses, you know, you should always have, especially at least at sunrise and sunset. And ringing the bells, that's right, we ring the bell before they come in the temple. Why do we have a bell at the temple? Why is it at the threshold of the temple? Because if you read in the Shastras, one of the main gathering places for subtle beings is thresholds. Thresholds and charai, intersections. You know the streets? You know what a charai is? This street and that street, it's called charai? Choraha, or whatever it is. We say intersection. Intersection. That's why there's so many car accidents there. This guy's coming this way. Yeah, boom! If you ever know, you know what I'm talking about, car accident. This guy's coming this way, this guy comes this way. They could very easily hit each other off-center. Do you know that? You understand? He's coming there, but every time there's a car accident, they hit dead center. He could be coming, just entering the traffic intersection. You could hit him on the side, right? Before the middle. You follow? Because you don't see him. You're going really fast. And as soon as you see him, boom. But he comes all the way like this to the middle. And you come all the way. You could be riding your car on this side or that side of the street. But you're right in the middle. Boom. Ache the middle. Everywhere in the world. Because they get ghosts gather at thresholds. Threshold means windows, doors, and bridges, and the intersections of streets. They have big parties here, sometimes 300-400 ghosts. So the bell is put at the entrance of the temple because you ring the bell, and they may be hanging around there at the threshold and jump on somebody when they walk in or try to get in the temple with somebody that's dirty or not clean or intoxicated. Then that guy comes in the temple, now the ghost is inside the temple. But then we have incense, and he goes, oh, and he runs out. So that's one reason why the bell is put in the temple. There's many, many things going on in this bhakti, because there's white tantra and there's black tantra. The pancharatric literatures, the Narada Pancharatra, and there's so many pancharatras. The Narada Pancharatra is sattvic, and it's called white tantra. But there's so many pancharatric literatures, which are the dark mantras to kill people, mantras to control people. So this is, the devotee gets the apple, he offers it very nicely to Krishna, then he sits down, and then he prays and thanks the Lord, then he honors it. And when he takes that one apple, he gets the satisfaction of eating 50 apples. Because he's tasting the love of Krishna. And anything we do, in any sense object we deal with, it's simply to produce happiness. This is Ananda Maya Vyasat. The nature of the jiva, he's pleasure seeking. This never ends. Even this idea of viraha bhava, or I just want to serve the Lord, I don't want pleasure. But if you read the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, there's so many verses which explain that the living entity is always getting pleasure. That's part of his nature. Sachit Ananda. Ananda means pleasure. He's not, I just serve Krishna, I don't want any pleasure. You'll get pleasure automatically. To enjoy service or to enjoy the association of the Lord, that will come because that's part of our nature. There's many, many verses. Sometimes there's a misconception about, I just want to serve, I don't care about my happiness. No, the jiva must have happiness. Happiness, and happiness will come in service, the supreme happiness. It's not that we deny happiness. We're not enemies of happiness. Krishna is Ananda Bihari. Ananda Bihari Sri Krishna Bhagavan Ki. And we are parts of Ananda Bihari. So we are bliss seeking, seekers of bliss. We are partakers and sharers. We share in the divine communion with the Lord. We share his bliss. So no, I don't want any happiness. I'm just all the time I'm sad, I'm just doing my service, no joy. No, that means you're not connecting Krishna. You suppress any ideas of happiness and suppress any feelings of to enjoy. I don't want to enjoy chanting Krishna's name. I don't want to enjoy this prasadam. This is bogus. But there's a fine line between being a bogey devotee. let's enjoy it, and overeating and out of control. But sometimes very sincere and serious devotees who are very sincere and austere, they think, enjoyment is maya. There's many verses that can show you from so many shastras that explain that the atma must always have pleasure. That's why devotees are in the temple and they do this suppression mode. And then they say, I'm not getting any juice. I'm not getting any happiness. So I better get a wife. Because I got some juice and happiness over there. So we should. Krishna wants it. It's pleasurable. So let loose and enjoy what Krishna. Whatever Krishna's take aside is our quota. Isopanishad, verse number 1. Ishavasya midansam. Everyone, every jiva has some quota. It doesn't just mean food. Everyone knows that verse? Ishava Samidam Saram Yatkin Shatyam Jagat Tena Takena Bunjita Madhvita Kasisuna says everything is owned and controlled by Ishvara Parama Krishna. But he has given every living entity what they require to exist. And the verse says, accept those things, accept what Krishna has given you happily and with gratitude. And don't take other things because they belong to other people. But part of what Krishna is giving us is not only water and food and clothing, but he's giving us happiness. This verse means this. It doesn't just mean, just accept your quota. Okay, I took 2 chapatis, little doll. We have physical quota, physical needs. We have mental needs. And we have heart needs, emotional needs. So who's giving them? Our wife? We think so. That's our illusion. Our husband? We think so. That's our illusion. Our body is being maintained by God. God makes food, not our husband. Our mind is being pacified and purified and peaceful by the mercy of God. And our hearts are being filled with satisfaction and happiness. Even if it's perverted or reflected happiness coming from Maya, that happiness which is a product of Maya, which is material sukh, that Indriya sukh, is also a gift of God. That's also a quota given to you by God because you want material sukh, Indriya priti, sex, booze, and eating this, that, the other thing. So that's also given by God, even the heart's happiness or the happiness, the quota of happiness. But devotees who are following the principles and giving up illicit sex and gambling, intoxication, meat, onions, garlic, tea, coffee, all the chocolate, all these things, They also have their quota of happiness by birthright. It's a birthright of the jiva to enjoy. He's an enjoyer, and God is the supreme enjoyer. So Krishna gives each of us a quota of happiness. So accept it gratefully and happily and enjoy. Prabhupada, this is a famous quotation. I've heard Bhavananda Prabhu say it 1,000 times in Mayapur. He said, when Prabhupada asked Jayavataka and myself to manage this Mayapur, he turned to me, and because Bhavananda, he knew Bhavananda's nature. Bhavananda Prabhu, he's a very charismatic person. And he said that he himself, Bhavananda, said this quote 100 times. It's everywhere told. Even it's, I think it's in Lilamrita. Prabhupada said, Bhavananda Prabhu, I'm giving you Mayapur. I'm putting you in charge of Mayapur. I'm giving you Mayapur. Now enjoy. Prabhupada told him, enjoy. That doesn't mean you go crazy and be like some Henry VIII, become King Henry VIII, become a hedonist and a total Vishayi. But it was just the idea that, because the spiritual world is Vaikuntha. That's like the negative. Vaikuntha means no anxiety. What's the positive? Oh, I want to go to Vaikuntha Dham. What's so attractive about being free from anxiety? You can take a pill and be free from anxiety. But you can't take a pill and become happy. There's no happy pills. I mean, you can take drugs, but it's a kind of a... it's not a permanent thing. So Vaikuntha, what's attractive about Vaikuntha? No anxiety. Well, that's all. I mean, if I go to sleep, I don't have anxiety, unless I have bad dreams. But it's Anandam. Anandam. It's the abode of bliss. Transcendental ecstasy. That's Vaikuntha. What to speak of Goloka Vrindavan, Krishna's holy abode, Sridham Vrindavan. It's a place of unrestricted, unlimited, super, super ecstatic experiences of divine loving exchanges with the greatest intimacy, charm, beauty, and sweetness. This is Krishna in Vrindavan. So enjoyment. So we dedicate our aham. Aham for us is, I am Krishna's servant. And mama is, he's my Lord and my beloved. And my abhiman is, my mentality is, I want to offer everything to my beloved Krishna. This is my mentality. And my conception is, whatever you want, that's what I want. And once we have that aham, and that mama, and that abhiman, then there's no more common crowed. And then what do we get? If we live every moment with that aham, and that mama, and that abhiman, then we end up with shuddha man. See that? Shudman. Pure mind. What is a pure mind? A pure mind is filled at every moment with the beautiful and sweet and charming and satisfying name, form, qualities and pastimes of Lila Purushottam Bhagavan Sri Krishna Ki. Vishayi chariya kabe shuddha habe man kabe ha maherbo Sri Vrindavan Dham. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.